Jesus taught us to pray. And before we rush into the requests we make to him, he told us how to address God. He taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven." So there are two things there. One is to be absolutely convinced that God is our loving Father, a Father who loves us immensely, more than any earthly father. Jesus has always said that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give only good things to those who ask him? We have many good fathers sitting here. And when Jesus said that, there must have been some good fathers in front of him. But he said, all of you are evil compared to God. And I would say that to every one of you, including myself. We are evil fathers compared to God. In other words, on a scale of 1 to 100, God is 100. We are 0. We are not even 1. So think of how much you care for your children, how much you sacrifice and provide for them. It is 0 compared to God's love for you. If you don't begin there, it's no use praying. The problem with a lot of people who pray is they do not begin where Jesus told us to begin. Our Father. It's one of the great things in the New Covenant. You know that if you had gone to a Jew in the Old Testament and said, "Hey, you can call God Father." He said, "Oh no, he's not our Father. He's God Almighty." It's a tremendous privilege, which I don't think we have realized fully. And no matter even though we hear it so much, I remember in the early days, nobody taught me this. In fact, most of the truths I discovered by reading the Bible, because I sat in churches where, just like today, you go to these churches, you don't hear the most important truths in Scripture. So most of the time I would pray, "Oh God, oh Lord Jesus," just you ask yourself how you pray. "Oh God, Lord Jesus," very rarely will you pray, "Father." If you don't believe me, you check your prayers in the past days and check in the coming days how you pray. Spontaneously, your prayer is not "Father." You know, prayer is not "Dad." It took me years to come to the place where I could look up to heaven and say, "Dad, have you come there?" It says the Holy Spirit cries out within us saying, "Abba." If that were translated, that's a Hebrew word, by the way, from Romans 8:16. The Spirit cries out within us saying, "Abba, Father." Unfortunately, they didn't translate "Abba." It's like I feel very sad that some of these words are not translated. For example, baptism. They shouldn't have put that Greek word baptizo into the English. They should have said immersion. That's the meaning of baptism. There'd have been no more child sprinkling if that was there. In the same way, "Abba." They should have said, "Spirit within us cries out, Dad." Have you ever looked up to heaven and said, "Dad?" We were hearing about rest. And that's what I'm telling you. You cannot come to rest no matter how many messages you hear, no matter how many verses you quote, until you are convinced that God is your dad. Better than your earthly dad. And I was taught that when I was born again, but it was not a reality in my life for many years. I could not spontaneously look up and say that. Even in church, if I prayed in public, it would be, "Oh God, oh Lord." Very good. Nothing wrong in saying "Lord God," but Jesus said, "Pray, our Father." Why don't we say that? Who do you think is making us not say that? It's the devil. He doesn't want you to be intimate with your Father. It's like, you know, there are some of these songs like, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." I never sing that Jehovah because he's not Jehovah to me. There are many other songs like that where there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like my dad. And so while others are singing Jehovah, I quietly say, Dad. It's really true. I remember people once when I said that to someone, they said, isn't he Jehovah? I said, yes. But if one of my children came to me and said, Mr. Poonen, I'd like to talk to you, I think he's angry with me. He wouldn't call me by that name. I'd say, I'm Mr. Poonen to everybody else in the world, but to you, I'm Dad. And that's what God is telling many of us. To the whole world, he says, I'm God, but to you, I'm a dad. I hope you will believe it today. Believe me, if you ask the Holy Spirit to fulfill in your life, Romans 8:16, which says, the Spirit within us, I think it's 8:16, in fact. It's 8:15. The Spirit within us cries out, Dad. Ask the Holy Spirit to make that real to you so that it's not just because Brother Zach said it or even because Jesus said it, but the Holy Spirit has come in and assures you the one who is in heaven is your dad. That's the way to come to rest, the rest that you were hearing Bobby speak about. The second thing is, our Father who art in heaven. In heaven means he's got complete control of everything in the universe. These are the two facts that will bring rest into your life. One is the assurance of a dad in heaven who loves you more than anyone on earth ever loved you, even when you make mistakes. A good father will not forsake his son if his son makes a mistake, even if it's a gross mistake. Yeah, a good father will not forsake him. He said, I'll stand by you. You know, the fathers who are willing to be imprisoned for the sake of their children, or they're willing to be hanged in place of their children, that's what Jesus manifested on the cross. God sent his son to be killed in our place. But one who rules in heaven controls, there's absolutely nothing outside his control. And as I've studied the scriptures, the most complete and absolute statement of the sovereignty of God that I've found in the whole Bible is not in Romans 9 where it speaks of God's sovereignty. It's not in any of the apostles' words. It's in Daniel. And it's not in the words of Daniel. It's in the words of a heathen king called Nebuchadnezzar, who was an arrogant king who built Babylon and was so proud. He said in Daniel 4:30, isn't this Babylon the great, which I have built? It was an amazing city, by the way, Babylon. I believe the walls were so thick that a four-horse chariot could ride around on the walls. They were so thick. And this great, which I built it, and I built it for my residence, and I built it with my power, and I built it for my glory, from man, through man, to man. It should be from God, through God, to God, like it says in Romans 11. 36, from God, through God, to God are all things. But this is the opposite of that, Babylon. The mark of Babylon, Christendom today, Babylonian Christianity, is plans that originate in man's mind, done through man's power and man's money, and done for man's glory. That's here, Babylon. He says, this I built, it was my idea to build it, I built it with my power, and it is for the glory of my majesty. And God said, okay, I'm going to humble you. A voice came from heaven saying, sovereignty, verse 31, has been removed from you, Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to be driven away and you're going to live with the animals in the field. You're going to eat grass like cattle until 7 periods of time pass over you. Now, I don't know how many that means, but it means 7 years. Well, 7 years He was like the king, the ruler. He was the greatest sovereign in the world at that time. He became like an animal eating grass. And his nails grew, it says in verse 33, the last part, like bird's claws, and his hair became like eagle's feathers. And God humbled him. He was eating grass like cattle, verse 33. At the end of it, God healed him. And he learned a lesson. And then he says in verse 34, I blessed the Most High, the last part of 34, praised and honored him, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. Now here, verse 35 is the verse I'm referring to. The most absolute statement of the sovereignty of God that I have found in any verse in the whole Bible. All the inhabitants of the earth, believers, unbelievers, every single human being is zero. That's the first thing he says. I've discovered that every human being on earth is zero for God.